Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning just for the opportunity to come together and be in your presence, just to be able to draw on you this morning and to pull on the gifts that are from you. Nobody contains the gifts but you, Father, and the Holy Spirit gives them out as he wills, and I just thank you for the gift of receiving this morning, that people would just receive, not just for this message, but throughout service, receive what you have and want to do in their hearts during praise and worship this morning. And just to take that word, that seed, and to cooperate with the sowing that's done today. Just to cooperate with the seed sown and to help get that, embed that in their soil of their hearts. And to take whatever is said and let the Holy Ghost minister, just like a physician would take medicines and minister it in specific ways to help that healing process along. And so I thank you for the renewing of the mind that happens today. I thank you for just the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, to be made aware of a new way to apply something in our lives, and heart changes that help us to turn a new direction and start on a new course. So that it may not seem like much has changed from the outside, or even tomorrow as we start on that new path, the difference is small, but as we continue on it, and as we continue to run our course with patience, that Father, we'll notice the difference, and we can look at this day, it might be a day when we get something. It doesn't need to be everything all at once, but just something that will help change an area of our lives. And so we thank you for it. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and we call it all blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to start, I'm not sure where, but we might as well start with Scripture if I'm not sure where. So let's look at Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think, we ask, or think." And that is a very commonly used in the Word of Faith camp, if you will, or in the Word of Faith sect. That's a really common one, that if you went to a Word of Faith church and started that verse, you said, "Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we," and they would say, "ask or think," or most people would know that verse, kind of like Philippians, what's that verse, 4:19, about according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And of course, we know in the beginning part of that chapter of Philippians that he's talking about, I know how to abase and abound, and so there's context, but we can pull that scripture out, him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and according to the power that work within us, is the last part of that verse. But just like Philippians 4:19, there's context, and there's parts that we like to sort of cherry pick out that would not satisfy, but would help, would encourage us, and certainly want to do that. We want to be encouraged. Now, in this verse, Ephesians 3:20. "Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." And that's amazing. And that helps us to think about taking the limits off of God, because he's able to do more than we can ask or think. So that means when it says think there, imagine what you can imagine. You can imagine way beyond what you can ask or think. Now, when we really get down to it, it's about what we can believe, right? And that's where we can limit God. But he can do, when we start to think of our situation, I don't know if you've experienced this, I'm sure you have, and I've experienced it in small ways, and sometimes those are wonderful blessings in themselves, just small things happening. I know there's people that have experienced big miracles in their lives. I haven't had big miracles in like my immediate sphere that I've seen. But I've seen lots of little answers to prayer, lots of little ways that God has adjusted things in my heart, where it's a small adjustment, but it's impactful. And the way I'm thinking about it, I think I'm already in faith. I think I'm already got God in the situation because I'm declaring things in faith, but I haven't really gone to him in that situation. So I'm built up. I know how faith is supposed to work. I know how that's supposed to work. I'm doing the sort of the machinations of it, you know, going through the steps, praising God for the answer. But I haven't asked God, is there anything you want me to do differently here? Or what do you want me to even say about this situation? You know, I think I'm just supposed to come at it strong. And when in doubt, it never hurts to be bold in with your faith and to do it with confidence. I mean, why would you do it any other way? But sometimes I can get to where I'm off on my own, and I've got the word, and I'm in faith, but it's sort of, it's not God faith. Like in Mark 11:23, right before that verse, he says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. And I'm having faith in what I know. And what I know is good, but it doesn't get, it starts to get to be what I've learned. And I have faith in what I've learned. I have faith in the fact that I go to a good church. I have faith in the fact that I've tithed or I've done these things. And I start to get faith in what I've done rather than always just going back to what Jesus accomplished, because that's what gets it done. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. In fact, the longer we do stuff, the longer we've been in the walk with God and practiced our faith, the more potential we have to rely on ourselves and our own ways we've done things and gotten results. And so I know even in small situations, you can just go back. And in this case, it says ask or think in Ephesians 3:20. And when I think about a situation and I go to God with it, a lot of times he'll just bring something just a little different and say, why don't you do this? Why don't you try this? It might be something natural. A lot of times it is. I find something natural to do because we experience so many things naturally. But if we'll obey God, think about the woman, she filled up the jug, Jesus commanded them to fill up the jugs. They asked Jesus. That was the woman. She asked Jesus, for his mother, have him do it. So he told them, go fill up these jugs with water. A natural thing. A natural thing to initiate something God wanted to do and brings God's power to turn that water into wine. And, I had a situation, I've shared this, I think I shared it yesterday at men's meeting, about Sean was exhorting last month, I can't remember when it was, but something about, if you have things you want to see with your kids, and I can't remember everything, but something he said sparked something in me, and I was like, you know what, yeah, I want that. You know, it's something that I want to do better. I want to be able to have more patience with my kids. And I just, more patience, Father, more patience. And I said, Father, I don't know what I need to, when you get to the end of yourself, you've tried all the things you can think of to do, and then you go, oh, well, maybe I should check with God. And you don't think you're doing that. You think you're just being responsible. But you go, man, it's not working. You know what? God, I've tried it all. Now what do you want to do? Rather than, obviously the better thing. But sometimes that's helpful for me because I really have exhausted all those options. And so those voices of my own experience, my own opinions, I've got experience from teaching all this stuff, I can shut the door on those things more easily and I'm more receptive to hear. So sometimes, and I'm not saying you need to do this, but I found that when those things run their course, I go to God, and hopefully I just get to that point quicker. I can learn how to, and again, that's where my renewing of my mind is going to come in, is getting to a point where I'm not trying those options first, my own options, because, and I that's, that's the growing process. But the more we do it, the more we recognize and can get to that point. If we know where we're going, sometimes the quicker route there. But he said to me, so I was in praise and worship, and I said, whatever you want me to do here, however you want me to make an adjustment. And I heard the word decaf. I want more patience with my kids. And I just heard it clearly in my spirit. It wasn't, audible voice or anything, but I just heard decaf, and I kind of chuckled a little bit. And because it's like, duh. So you're asking for more patience. Let's take a look at what you're doing with your body here. Throughout the day, how much coffee you drink in the morning? Oh, maybe three cups before I leave the house, and then I fill up for the ride to work. So probably 6 ounce cups. So it's 24 ounces of coffee in the morning before you get to work and have the stimulus of 30 children in the room with you. Okay? Then throughout that day on your prep, what do you do sometimes? Or throughout the day if I'm not substituting, I'm doing a long-term position as a substitute. What are you doing throughout the day sometimes? You know what? You're refreshing that pot of coffee. You're going up there. Yeah, you're making a small pot, but you're having 2 to 3 cups of coffee throughout the day. How many ounces of coffee? You've had about 32 ounces, a quart of coffee. Now, maybe some of you drink more. Maybe some of you drink less. And I'm not saying decaf is the answer for everybody or there's a new religion. It's decaf. That's the answer. But for me, it was sort of like, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give up drinking your coffee for your kids, for what you just said you wanted. I had to check that. And for a couple of days, I was like, maybe he means like, you know, I can have one cup in the morning. So I did that for a couple of days. And I just knew, I was like, you know what? Maybe you could get away with it. Is that what you want? Is that what you want to try and do, is get away with it? If you know God said to you, hey, just go decaf. Then trust that that's going to, not that decaf is the answer, but trust God. And then maybe he'll show you something a little down the road. You know, maybe he'll speak something else that's a little more sort of the true riches. If I'm not willing to do what he asked me to in the least of these things, in the very smallest thing about something that has no nutritional value, it has really, I mean, and there's studies about if you're in athletics, you know, that caffeine can boost your performance, whatever, but I'm not an Olympic athlete needing my top performance, you know, and within a half an hour. I have no excuse, really. And so, I didn't expect to really share all that, but that's where I think, that's not what I would have asked or thought, you know? And so he's really able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. And then this next part, the next word, according, is very important in this verse. And it shouldn't be a discouragement. It should be an encouragement. But it says according to the power. Okay, so according to the power, and again, the word of faith, most people will be able to finish this sentence, sort of like Philippians 4:19, which I can't think of right now. Sort of like when you're listening to one song, you can't think of how the other one goes. But Philippians 4:19, yeah, would you look that up, please, Sean?
Yeah, we want to know.
What it says.
But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ.
Yes. So most people would know, if you started that verse, they could finish it for you, according to his riches in Christ Jesus, you know, and my God shall supply all your need, which is a great encouragement to us. But what we do is sometimes we forget the context of that. I know we've been well taught about the whole context. Paul has shared in there about I have learned to abase or abound in all things. I have learned this secret. He calls it a secret. It means it's a important thing to learn. It's precious. It's to be guarded. He's not saying I'm not going to tell you. Obviously, it's not secret. It's he put it down. But the power that works within us. So, and I heard this from another source, from Andrew Womack, was teaching about. But there's a part here. According, Brother Hagin's talking about this. According to the power that works within us, and so we have this power, and that's why I have these tools here, or this tool here, is the power that we have. We have I have these extension cords. And we have a power source, which is our outlet. And I have three different cords here. Actually, I have four cords. And the way that electricity works in a cord, which I found out is, doing some research on this, because a friend of mine had told me, you know, I had the air compressor here last week. And an air compressor, he said, I had it plugged into, he was helping me, this is years ago. I was putting in a sliding glass door, and we had plugged in the compressor I plugged it into an extension cord. And it was actually one like this one. This one is 100 feet. It's 16 gauge, 100 feet cord, 100 foot cord. And, Lewis probably knows this. I see you shaking your head a little bit, but, this is a really long cord. 100 feet for an extension cord is extremely long, especially for 16 gauge. Okay, and we'll get to that in just a second. So I was going to plug it into this, and he was like, no, don't do that. And I was like, well, it's plugged in, the outlet's just 10 feet away or whatever, but it's right here. He's like, no, that needs to go in directly there because you lose power through the extension cord. He said, especially that one. That one's 100 whatever feet it is, and it's only 16 gauge. And so you're losing power through this cord. And I thought, wow, I listened to him, plugged it right in directly to the outlet. And there's many analogies here, but one of the analogies is that, you know, plugging in directly for a tool that needs a lot of power, like an air compressor, is your best bet. And if you don't do that, what happens is, and I can't explain how this all works electrically. Okay, so I read it a number of times, but I got so confused with ohms and volts and resistance factor times watts and how they calculate those things. I thought I was getting it, and I was like, okay, I think I can explain that. And I looked at it again. I was like, I'm not sure. But the simplified answer is that when it goes through this cord, and this 16 gauge is an average size extension cord. You've probably seen these. They're pretty flexible, pretty mobile. Easy to, you know, they're not heavy, too heavy, whatever. I don't know. That's not the point. But as it's traveling through this distance, there's resistance in the cord. There's actually resistance, and it will cause the cord to heat. So the further this power has to travel, the less power comes out here. And if you think about it, the further we get away from God in terms of our daily life acknowledging, it says to acknowledge Him in all your ways. The further we get away from that, you know, like I said, I want to try all that I can do first, you know, and then I come to the end of myself. But if I have this long cord that I'm used to using, and these are common, you'll see these are, they're pretty cheap. And it looked like to me when I was sort of ignorant, not sort of, I was ignorant of that. I thought, yeah, that's great. That's a great deal. 100 feet of cord. Man, I can, it's cheaper than this shorter, fatter one. I don't want, you know, I don't want that one. But by the time it gets out here, it's not going to supply enough power. And what that does to the tool, when the tool, and I have in here a circular saw, and this is a pretty powerful tool. It pulls 13 amps. So by the time this gets here, it says that on a 16-gauge cord that's I think it was 50 feet, by the time it gets to the end, it'll have 13 amps left. Okay? So it just barely enough to cover this. And if I'm going into a board, and it starts, have you ever gone in and you're cutting something and it starts to dig in, or you just hit an angle or something, and it starts to, and that's going to draw more power. And what happens is, electrically, is when it starts to draw more power, it increases the resistance the further you are away from the source. So as you're requiring more, the resistance becomes greater, and it actually works against itself, and the tool will burn out. So there's some pretty clear analogies here to our lives, is that we have needs every day. And if you think about the cord is kind of like your daily needs. If you think about it, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be resistance. So I have another cord here. Now, the other thing is, if I had a shorter cord, same gauge wire, this is 16-gauge, shorter cord, but I'm staying closer. Now, we're all at different places. Right? We'll have different revelation or a different place we are in the walk, our walk with God. The power coming out is the same, but it's what we're able to plug in, what we're able to draw essentially, is, what we're going to experience at the end of this cord. Now, a shorter cord where we're staying closer is going to have much more power, much less distance to travel. It's less distance to travel. It's staying closer to the connection, staying closer to that source. Okay? So same gauge, but this is going to only lose, I don't know what the formula would be, I want to pretend to know that, but it loses way less than this 100-foot cord. This is a 12-gauge cord, and it's 25 feet. And this can give ample power to this circular saw. It can dig in and pull as much power as it wants. Now, there's still resistance going to come from this, in this cord, but if you think of the resistance as, like I said, our daily lives, and this is a fallen world, we are going to experience things that are going to try and draw that power out of us and seep some of that power off of us that was meant for good and for us to be able to have enough to do our daily lives and plenty left over to share with others. You know, we're not, something we confess, but think about what the Holy Ghost is in you. You have an abundant supply of power with the Holy Ghost. But there's an enemy that wants to get you distracted, wants to pull some of and sap some of your energy away. Just with little things. Just with little things. It's amazing how those little foxes can spoil the vine. And Jesus said that I am the vine. Let's look at that real quick. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we're staying connected. And what I was saying was this resistance that we feel. And I know might sound like the church lady here, but if you think of sin and Satan, you know, the resistance that he wants to put on us, he doesn't have a lot much power, does he? He has the power of to tempt us. He has the power to deceive us if we, you know, if we allow him to. But it's what we allow, and it's what we take on and take in from the deceiver. He's the father of lies. He is, so we can't make any mistake that we have an enemy, right? And every day he's going to try that resistance. But if you've got like this cord, there's resistance on this cord. But for the need I have, it's more than enough. It's more than enough power. So where sin abounds, the power, if you think of grace as power, this power is going to work in this saw or work in me. Okay? This power is going to get through because I've got this thick gauge cord. And this is, if you can think of this as an analogy too, when you first start out, you might be plugging into others. You know, and that's going to be a long cord. When that could come to the end of that, you're far from the source. The shorter that cord gets, and then you get to a spot where, you know what, you can have the Holy Ghost. Think of this cord as like the Holy Ghost, fully supplying you with power. Whatever you need, whatever you're going to draw off of that, he's got enough for you. And Pastor's article from the newsletter, I know he's going to share about this, so I'm not going to go too much into this. But one aspect of it was a change of heart, and he talks about in here generosity and missions. And there's a principle here, again, in the word, the principle is not just going to apply to one area of our lives. So if you're seeing, like Pastor has advised us to do, if you're seeing something work in one area, like for example, healing, or in finances, but not in healing, take the principles that you're applying to what you're doing in finances and apply those same principles to healing, and you'll start to see results. So this is a financial principle in Luke 6:38, and Pastor referenced this in his article about your giving, and it's something that many times they put in cards when it's your birthday, or but it's another common one that people share a lot when talking about finances. It says Luke 6:38, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And now the way this struck me was that, you know, we have a measure here. If you think of these cords as a different measure, and this is the draw. And actually, there is in electricity, it's a draw. You put a demand on this. There's all this power coming right here. And it's the matter of how do we limit God by how we're connecting to Him, and so to speak. And so one of the ways you can think about it is if you don't feel like you're not feeling, but it's not about feeling. If you know, it's your receiving is what the issue is here. So if we have a small cord, now once we get to a position where we know some things, the danger is like I was sharing, where I'm trying to do it in my own strength. I've got a lamp cord in my own strength compared to the Holy Ghost. And if I won't even plug in this circular saw, I wouldn't even test it on this lamp cord because it could burn that motor out really fast. If I went to saw or do anything with it, it would burn that motor, and that motor's then going to be damaged. It might still run, but if I really tried to do much work with it like that, it's going to burn out to where that motor has to be replaced. You know, it has to be, it's trashed. Now, that's not us. I mean, we can be renewed again and refreshed in the Holy Ghost in a moment. We can, you know, spend some time with God. We can get built up. We can spend some time in praising Him. If we do get to that point like I did, where I was just like, you know, I've been praise and worship that time when I was asking God, you know, I know that's something I need. It was kind of an inner check. I believe the Holy Ghost was showing me, you know what, this is something you need to pay attention here. That was for you. Pay attention to this. And then I asked God, yeah, God, if that's what you want, what do I need to do? Decaf. Okay. So I'm just trying to do things in my own strength. This little cord is in my own strength, and it's going to burn out. The cord, actually, when that power is going through, what happens with that resistance is turned into heat. So you can have, especially with like this long cord, and now the problem is as we get more mature, we might start to rely again on our own experience, our own ability to do things, our own gifts. But really, we've got to rely on the gift giver. We always have to. And I think that's the challenge, is I've gotten some more tools in the kit, is that I'm not going back to the lamp cord because that's the one that's the lightest, it's the easiest to grab. It's not down in a bin somewhere. It's just right out there. We have these available. We have a number of them. We have tons of them. They're cheap. You know what? So I might grab this one quick. And I'm just using that as an analogy, obviously. I might just grab what I know to do, the things that I've seen done, the things that my parents might have done, and they were great parents. But you know what? I want God the Father to teach me what He wants me to do with my kids, what He wants me to say to somebody at work, how He wants me to pray even about situations. What does He want me to be focused on? What is in that moment all throughout the day? And so, the measure that we use, so we have a choice of which cord we're going to grab out for the job. And you know what? I use this cord pretty much all the time because if I have a smaller tool that doesn't draw as many amps, and I actually This one is, it doesn't say 2.5 amps. So it's, you know, this one right here is about 10 times the power is pulled for this saw. And actually, I had to get a new jigsaw because this one isn't powerful enough. So I did get a new jigsaw because I wanted to get some nice cuts for some finish work I was doing. But this is only 2.5 amps. But I would still use this cord. It's got plenty for this job. It's not going to burn out. So we are always, whenever you got the Holy Ghost, it's not like, oh, it's going to be too much power, it's going to damage something. No, the power, that's not the issue. It's when you try to do work that's a little bit heavier load that you're going to draw on if you're doing things in your own strength. And even if I was to plug this into that lamp cord, even a small tool like this, it doesn't take a lot of power. It's going to still be hard on this motor, and over time it's going to burn it out. So I think the main point, there's some of the ideas I don't want to get to, and part of one of the things that we can be, this will finish with this, we can be careful is when we're running at, we've got this optimal situation, we've got plenty of power for this tool. One of the things sometimes we want to do, and we think, you know what, this is the great thing to do, and the world, you know, around us, people kind of lift that up as a great thing, and man, that person multitasks, and I'm not saying that's not a good skill to have at work or something. But we want to plug in now. We want to plug in all, you know, we want to have so many things going on. And we want to have, you know, music. We might want to plug in our, all these other things going on with us here. We got this going on. We got these tools. And, you know, sometimes we're even trying to use multiple things at once. I got my circular saw. I got my jigsaw going. And, you know, that can start to burn us out. Even though we've got the Holy Ghost, we're not meant to run like that. We're not meant to just be run around. We're supposed to be still and know that He is God. And how can we do that if we've got all these things? And then you add on top of that all the caffeine that I was putting in my body. You know, so we got stress going on. This kid's telling me that somebody punched him at lunch, and this kid's a homeless. And so he's just, you know, he's got, you know, stress in his life he can't manage. He's 10, 8, and he doesn't know where he's going after school or if he's going to eat tonight. You know, so I'm trying to deal with this stuff, and I'm hopped up on caffeine. I've got a number of things going on. I've got plugged in. I've got my cell phone is chiming up at me. Okay, it's vibrating. I'm not, okay, what else do I want to add to our place? That's the other thing with our phones. Sometimes we'll just put away our phones for a little while. I know that doesn't sound like a real aha moment for most of you. Probably do that maybe on your own, but you know, I have this in my pocket. Most of the time it's real close, and I'll just go through and just go, let me just see if I'm going to update my email real quick. Someone might be something real important right here. Okay, let me just update that. Well, all right, nothing that, going back, trying to interact with the kids a little bit. Oh, ding, ding, ding. Oh, wait, hold on, guys. And I got the phone up, and, you know, distraction. I got something drawn away, sapping something where it's like, just, you know what, I can check that in half an hour even. I don't know about you, but I'll confess, I check this thing way more. I'm not, you know, the president of the United States. I mean, if someone really needs to get home, you know what they can do? They can call. Yeah, I mean, imagine that. So, or if they texted, you know what? That's a great thing about text. Let it go till later. And maybe if some of you have already learned these things and managed it better, but I know I can slip into that. And sometimes it helps me when I just fast some of that stuff and just say, you know what? Let's just put that away. I'm not taking my phone with me. That's just, you know what, if there's an emergency, it's probably somebody at the snow hill when we go sledding, probably has a phone. You know what, so we'll be okay. So anyway, that's it. Hope you got something out of it.